Welcome to our session on the Law of Attraction. The teachings of the Law of Attraction seem to be everywhere, from movies to books to seminars and programs. And with all this talk about the power of the Law of Attraction, why doesn't it always seem to work the way we want it to? If you've been disappointed in the past when you tried to use the Law of Attraction, or if you're new to the Law of Attraction and want to learn more, then you are in the right place. My guest is Bob Doyle. When it comes to cutting out the fluff and getting to the real core of the Law of Attraction, Bob is the person to speak to. He's been featured in the movie The Secret, and he's the creator of Wealth Beyond Reason, an online curriculum on the Law of Attraction. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks, Jessica. It's great to be here.
Thanks for joining us. Bob, I've heard you say before that you believe some people oversimplify the definition of the Law of Attraction. So in that case, how do you define it?
Well, let me first specify what I believe are the basic oversimplifications so that people have some context. I mean, a lot of people say like attracts like, and or what you focus on expands, right? And it's very common that people will say that. The problem with that is that is the way that the Law of Attraction can occur. You know, people who have things in common become friends or, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, it can certainly occur that way. But there are also many, many examples where like does not attract like or opposites attract. And so how do you explain that to people? It gets very confusing. People are like, well, what about this? What about that? What about Mr. and Mrs. Jones who are complete opposites and yet their marriage has worked for 60 years or whatever? Because the Law of Attraction is really about vibrational resonance. I mean, we're in an energetic universe. I mean, everything is energy, right? And energy is vibrating, and it follows certain laws. And what the Law of Attraction does is it kind of explains how energy comes together, at least from our point of view as human beings, as we're observing how energy is behaving in the universe. And so when things are in resonance, they tend to attract. I often use the example of music, because if you like a particular piece of music or a particular style of music, you know, and music is all vibration, right? It's all sound vibration. And when you hear it and you like it, it has an emotional impact on you. You can feel it, sometimes physically, that you like it and you're drawn to it, that you resonate with it. And that's kind of how the Law of Attraction works in everything. I mean, that's a very oversimplified example, but see, the Law of Attraction is not, and I say this all the time too, but it's not some personal development tool, and the Law of Attraction is not about us getting anything, although we can utilize the Law of Attraction to have things come in and out of our experience, but that's not what it's about. It's not inherently about that. It's about how energy behaves. And so what we have learned, though, is that we as human beings can impact what our vibration is. Again, we're energetic beings, and we can change sort of our frequency through the use of our emotions and our imaginations and our thoughts and feelings and so on. And that, in that way, we get into resonance with certain things and we attract them. But the thing that people also have to know is that, you know, 99% of how the Law of Attraction is at work in our life, or more, maybe way more, is completely automatic. I mean, we're not consciously thinking all the time. We're not trying to attract everything that's in our experience. It's just happening because we're in resonance with it. And a lot of that is because as we grow up, we just learn things. We have certain beliefs. We accept things as reality because, you know, that's our observation and how we observe other people doing things. And so we attract most of our experience by default. But we also have the ability to attract more intentionally. And so that's kind of what the quote-unquote work about the Law of Attraction is about.
Now, when we learn the Law of Attraction, many of us are first taught that it's about positive thinking.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not, though. I mean, positive thinking can help, because if positive thinking leads to positive feeling and it shifts your energy vibrationally, then you can attract something different. But, you know, just thinking positive thoughts without having positive feelings or having an impact on your vibration is pretty much just, it doesn't do anything. And, in fact, a lot of times if a person has grown up sort of in a mostly negative environment and people try to tell them to think positively, it actually brings up more resistance than they want, because they're trying to tell themselves happy things that they don't have any experience of being true. And so it just throws up a bunch of stuff in there. You know, they basically reject thought outright. So positive thinking definitely, you know, it is one of many tools that people can use to change their vibration, but it's not the end-all be-all.
So really what you're saying here is, what I'm picking up too, is that when you talk about the way that we're, the frequency we're in and the vibration we're in, that goes right down, back down to how we're feeling.
Yeah, well, yes, I mean, that's our feedback. You know, the way, how we know what we're sort of vibrating, if you will, is given to us through our emotional state. If we're feeling good, if we're feeling bad, that's all a reflection of kind of what we're putting out there. And so, you know, a lot of times our emotional responses are also on autopilot. You know, we've learned to react or feel certain ways in certain situations, and we don't feel like we have any control over that because, hey, if this happens, this is how you're supposed to feel. It becomes automatic. But we also have conscious control over our feelings, and we can choose better thoughts or more productive thoughts in terms of creating experience in our lives that we, you know, that we will actually enjoy. So it kind of goes both ways. But when it comes right down to it, our emotional responses are always a choice, although a lot of them are unconscious.
Now, if we are listening to this and we suddenly realize that we've been living very unconsciously, what's the first step to change that and become more conscious?
Well, I think it helps to really spend some time looking at, if you're open to that, if you're open to saying, okay, well, if I'm doing things unconsciously, what has that brought me? And you can look around in your life and see kind of the result of what you've been thinking or feeling or vibrating or attracting, however you want to say it, up to that point. So the more that you can say, look at your experience and take some level of responsibility, or at the very least see that, yes, you know, I think I may have had something to do with this, you know, then and only then can you really buy into the idea that you can change things, you know, in a conscious way. So assessing what it is that your life is and how you'd like it to be different would be the first step, and then getting really, really clear on how you'd like it to be different and why you want it to be this way. Because a lot of times people think they want something because they've been taught that they should want something, like $1 million is a great example. Everybody thinks that's going to solve all their problems, and so they learn about the law of attraction. They say, oh, I'm going to attract $1 million. But why? Why $1 million? You know, if it's just some crazy number that you think is going to solve everything, it's going to be very difficult to get into resonance with that, especially if that's a dollar amount that is so far above anything that you've ever experienced before. The amount of resistance that's going to come up is going to be significant, and it's going to be a slow journey. But if you get clear on what you truly want your life to be and why, like, is it in alignment with your sense of purpose or your passions or things like that, and concentrate on those feelings, then you're going to get that vibration going the way that you want it to. And then if $1 million is what you need to be in resonance with this vision, then you'll attract it. But chasing the money just for the money's sake is you're chasing the wrong thing.
I've often heard people say that they have felt stuck in the sense that they couldn't figure out what they really wanted. And like they were unhappy, like, and they don't know what they want. What do you do in that situation?
Yeah, you know, there's lots of little techniques, like just choosing the opposite, you know, choosing what you really don't like in your life and say, okay, well, what is the opposite of that? You know, if you've got an unhappy relationship and that's all you know, maybe you've had unhappy relationships your entire life, you know, and it's hard to imagine what a happy relationship would be like. You know, it's really, what is the feeling that is the opposite of what you're feeling? Sometimes it is hard to get specific about a particular thing because you don't have any frame of reference, but you do know that you want to feel differently than you do now. And so if you at least know that, then you've got to, at least on some level, even if it's the slightest conscious level, have some idea of what that feeling might be. Now, you may not be able to put pictures to it or what item or what person or what dollar amount or whatever is going to make me feel this way, but you can at least try to get into that feeling. And then sometimes it's going to mean changing your environment radically. You know, go find some happy, positive people. Go be with people who are up to things, who inspire you. I mean, that's when it really gets good to watch movies that inspire, to, you know, to read books that inspire, that kind of stuff, to sort of unlock this, you know, you're so stuck on the way that your life has always been. These types of things can give you some possibility. And a lot of times I think people look at, maybe read an inspirational book or see an inspirational movie, and they're inspired in the moment, but it actually more depresses them because they're like, well, I want that, but I can't have that. Instead of going that way, say, I want that and I can have that. And what would it be like if I did have that? What would I feel like? What would my life look like? You're going to have to kind of stretch that imagination muscle if you haven't used it before. And let me say something about that, because, you know, I think there's another misconception out there that, hey, you learn about the law of attraction, you can easily do this and easily do that and just make a wish and bang, right? Well, that's not always how it's going to be, because we all have various levels of resistance or, you know, limiting beliefs or negative emotions or anything that we've grown up with. Some have more than others, and some have it in certain areas or different areas than other people. So there's no set time limit about how quickly this is going to work. It really boils down to how quickly can you get rid of the resistance that's kept you stuck at this point. So it is a process, and, you know, the idea is to not make it feel like it's work. But that can take a commitment, you know, and that's the thing that I want to really impress upon people, is that understanding the law of attraction isn't always a quick fix, but it's so worth understanding because you can at least start the process to change the way you're experiencing your life. If you just, you know, if you give up right away because, oh, it didn't happen overnight, you know, you've gotten nowhere, and in fact, you sort of get jaded. Well, I tried that law of attraction stuff. It doesn't work. I did a vision board and nothing happened. You know, that's, you know, I see that happen far too much, and it's just people just, they aren't persistent enough. They don't give themselves enough time, or they don't understand resistance at all, and they don't do anything about it, so they stay stuck.
What attracted you to EFT, and how have you used it, you know, with incorporating it with this whole process?
Yeah, early on when I created the Wealth Beyond Reason program, I think one of my first interviews was with somebody who was dealing with changing the energy system in a person's body. It wasn't EFT, but it was a cousin of EFT. And, you know, I got the concept, but it didn't really sink in. And I think I talked to somebody like Brad Yates and a couple of other, and they said, you know, you ought to try it. And I was all, you know, I got it intellectually, but I never really tried it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, because I just kind of, I guess on some level I didn't get how this tapping thing could do anything, right? Finally, I think a year after I was introduced to it, I think it was Brad Yates, convinced me just to try it one, you know, at some point. And so I finally did, and the effect was so immediate and so noticeable and so undeniable that then I started, hey, trying it on everything, right? Mm-hmm. And then I really saw major changes happen. Certainly in my emotional state and how I felt about certain things, and my belief system started to, you know, evolve so that I could think bigger for myself. And then when I introduced it to the Wealth Beyond Reason student population and they started getting results with it, I mean, I got more response from the introduction of EFT into our program than anything I had done up to that point. Because what I came to realize is that it's all about releasing resistance. I mean, the law of attraction and having it work in your life the way you want to. Once you understand what it is and get a few techniques for making it, you know, for being intentional about it, then it's all about eliminating resistance. So a tool like EFT is, you know, it's required.
Well, how do we figure out what our resistance is and what to tap on?
Well, see, I think a lot of people spend way too much time trying to figure out the root cause of everything. You know, well, why isn't this working? And they're racking their brains. You know, what did somebody say? What event occurred? My experience with EFT is that doesn't really matter to use the process. All you have to do is know how you feel when the resistance comes up, and that's going to be automatic. You know, you're going to have an idea about maybe starting a new business, and you're going to get this knot in your stomach. You know, it's too big. I don't know how to do it. All of those things, those feelings that come up, it's not really important that you know where they came from, although that can be helpful. But doing EFT in that moment, when you're tuned into that, will help you to balance out that energy system so that then those beliefs don't rule you anymore. And a lot of times during the process of doing the tapping or whatever, things will open up for you and you may see. You may remember the root cause. You may remember a conversation or an event or something that, oh, okay, I see where this came from. But it's not absolutely required that you do. The only thing that's required, in my experience, is to be aware of how you're feeling and do the process in that moment.
You talked a lot about persistence before. Now, there seems to be like a lag time when it comes to the law of attraction. So if we're working towards attracting something, how do we know that we're on the right track?
Well, there's a lot of trust involved in the process. And again, that comes from understanding how the law of attraction is at work and more what it is, I think, on a scientific level, at least for some people, because then they don't have to keep second-guessing whether or not this is really working just because it hasn't happened yet. Once you have that trust, once you understand that, hey, look, it really is working, it's working and you've got some resistance to work through, then the whole how quickly it works doesn't matter so much, and that's a whole area of resistance that they can stop looking at. Again, this is something that also, the more you use it, the more you start having experience with the law of attraction actually working, the less resistance you have, and then you stretch your ability to attract bigger and bigger things. So it's really just about trying it on I always recommend, starting with something small so you can have some experience of attraction. But, some people, they're just really, really stuck. Small may as well be huge for them because they have a problem with this whole, maybe they don't feel like they deserve to be able to attract anything. So that's why understanding a process like EFT and dealing with resistance from the very, very beginning and throughout is so important.
What are some common resistance that you find that comes up? You work with so many people. Do you find some kind of common themes that come up over and over again?
Sure. Like I mentioned, one of the biggest ones is an issue of deserving. We don't feel like we deserve to have this magical life for whatever reason. We believe that we're limited and there's only so much that we can do. We watched our parents or our peers or the people who, we grew up with only get so far and watch their belief systems, incorporated them into our own. And so we have some sort of set points about what we can attract, what we deserve to attract into our lives. When actually, from a scientific point of view, as far as the universe is concerned, there's no cap. There's no too big. We live in an infinite universe and we all have access to the same energy, but we also have various levels of resistance. So deserving is a big one. Things like, how will I do this? Instead of letting go and trusting and following our intuition and taking inspired action, we sit there and we'll do the processes, whatever the techniques are, whether it's a vision board or making a list or meditation or whatever little law of attraction tool they're using, and then they go right back to trying to figure out how they're going to attract this thing. They try and get in their head. The thing is that, if you're in your head, if you're trying to use your intellect to figure out how you're going to attract all this, well, you're using the same resources that you've always been using and haven't gotten you there. You're going to have to utilize new resources and allow those things to come to you. And that's what the law of attraction can do. It'll bring you new people. It'll bring you new, it could be books or movies or ideas to take action on. And your job is just to follow through with that inspired action as it comes to you. A lot of people, again, don't have that either. They don't have the confidence. If they want something in their lives and they go through this, these techniques, and then they get an inspired idea or something happens or a strange coincidence happens, they don't trust to take action, or they don't see, well, how could this get me there? This couldn't be it. This isn't what I've attracted. This is just some random coincidence. And they don't take any action. And that's using their intellect and their logic to try and figure out whether or not this event that has occurred in their lives has anything, will bring them closer to what they have, what they're trying to attract. When what they really need to do, and I learned this very early, is just to follow your intuition and take that inspired action regardless of whether or not it makes sense to you. And the more you do this, you'll realize that a lot of things that wouldn't have made sense to you before suddenly will, because you're going to have some experience of getting to where you want it to be by following this really crazy path that doesn't make sense to you from a logical point of view, but it did get you there. But it all starts with trusting.
Bob, you have this great resource, the Daily Utilization of the Law of Attraction Principles. So I'd just like to go through each principle and talk a little bit about how we can use it in our daily lives.
Okay.
So the first principle is, begin each day with a specific intention. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's just basically, you wake up and you say, well, what do I want my day to look like today? What would be fun today? What would make me feel alive today? How can I evolve my vision today? What do I want it to look like? I mean, it doesn't have to be necessarily specific. You can be specific, or it can be just an overall, I'd like to have a really great day, or I'd like to meet a new person, or I'd like to, make this sale, whatever it is. But to have something, and it can be big or small. Everything doesn't have to be, these gigantic manifestations. It can be just anything. But to kind of know where you'd like to go, that day. That's basically all that is.
The second step is when resistance comes up, release it.
Right. Well, that's what I was saying before is that, you know, as soon as getting into the practice of releasing in the moment is really key. I mean, because a lot of times I think people learn about releasing or EFT and they set aside a certain time of the day to do EFT, but they may or may not be in that emotional state that they want to release on in that moment. And so they either have to conjure it up or they don't. They just tap, you know, saying phrases or whatever, but there's no real emotion behind it. And that's kind of, again, that's sort of an impotent practice. I mean, the idea with releasing is that you're in that state that you don't like, that isn't pleasant, and you release it right then. So, you know, learning how to release in the moment. And another great thing about the more you practice EFT is you learn what it feels like to release. You learn what, you know, what is the result of doing the tapping, and a lot of times you can just spontaneously release without doing any tapping because you know what releasing feels like. So the goal, I think, is to just live in this great state of being able to release in the moment as resistance comes up, because it will, you know, because we live in a world surrounded by people with tons of, you know, tons of resistance. We're going to be around them. We're going to witness it, and stuff's going to come up for us. But to be able to release in that moment is really, really powerful.
I love that. I've never heard anyone put it like that, but it's true. You do learn that feeling of releasing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the third one is spend time in meditation, focusing on your thoughts and feelings on what you desire.
Yeah, again, it's just about taking some quiet time. You know, it's all about, you know, you. It's your time. It's about your vision. It's about your life. It's some time to be creative and imaginative and to dream big and create something that inspires you. And it can be, you know, meditation can be more of a formal, you know, sitting down and really doing a meditation. Or it can just kind of be as you're driving along and just say, okay, I'm going to commit this time to myself and to build this vision, to create a vision that inspires me and to get into that feeling. That's all that is.
We're so busy nowadays. I mean, do you set a time in your day where you know at this time you sit down and reflect?
Well, I think that works for a lot of people. It depends on your lifestyle. You know, my particular lifestyle, I have a lot of flexibility and I can kind of do that whenever, and I try and stay in a perpetual state of creating a vision for myself. But if a person is on a very strict schedule, then yes, I would say, look, you know, into that schedule, create 30 minutes a day or every other day or whatever that's just for this, just for designing your life.
Now, the fourth step is do things that bring you joy.
Right, because when you're in a joyous state, if you're doing something that you're passionate about, you know, you're kind of automatically in resonance with, you know, you're attracting more things that will perpetuate that state of joy. So the more that you can do something that you really enjoy, you don't even have to worry about, you know, making a list or doing a vision board or anything like that. If you're in the state of joy, then that's what you're in resonance with, and you will attract more things that will bring you that state of joy or build on it. So, you know, taking time to do things that you're passionate about that you just plain enjoy will really, really help you in the long run, provided you don't go right back to, okay, now it's back to reality and, you know, and I wish I could do that more, but I can't because it's a stupid job and, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, it's really about being in that state of joy and trying to keep it, you know, perpetuate that as much as possible without going totally backwards when resistance comes up. And again, that just goes back to knowing how to release in the moment.
Now, the fifth step is do not get attached to a time frame. Why is this important?
Yeah, because you get that whole resistance thing. I mean, if you feel like you have to have this thing in a week, otherwise all hell's going to break loose, well, that just says a lot about what you're putting out there. I mean, it shows a lack of trust that things are going to work out well. You're in this state of, well, what if it doesn't? You know, you're not putting out a pure vibration of a successful manifestation if it's got to be done by this amount of time. You know, that's our rule. We're saying, and you know, maybe all indications are like you've got a deadline for something, so you're saying, well, Bob, look, it does have to be done by this time. But the thing is that if that's your emotional state and there's some stress around it or whatever, you're hurting yourself. You know, it's not going to be a joyous process. You might get it done, but it's going to be more laborious than you need it to, because that's what you're vibrating and what you're in resonance with, the stress around it. Now, let me say this though. Some people work great with timelines. it inspires them, it motivates them, they feel good about it. In that case, go for it, you know. But if you're a person who, like me, who doesn't like deadlines or it's got to be done by this amount of time, you know, I wouldn't don't get attached to that. Because what happens is really you can, let's say that you're saying it's got to be done in a week, it's got to be done in a week, and that's what you're in resonance with. If you would let go of that completely, maybe it'll get done in a day. Maybe it'll get done in an hour. Maybe something will show up, but you're not in resonance with that. You're not going to allow that because you're all stuck on, it's got to be done in a week, you know, and so you're not going to put yourself in this state of infinite possibility where things could happen in what might occur as a miraculous way.
Well, what do you think about people who feel that feeling stressed makes them work harder?
Well, it does, but are they enjoying that work? I mean, hard work has this connotation kind of built in that it's hard, not enjoyable, or whatever. Now, stress may, again, you know, there's a healthy amount of stress that puts people into action, but hopefully it'll put them into joyous action. You know, they see a situation that needs changing, it creates a feeling of stress, some sort of a stress, but from that, if they can build a vision, you know, that they can then take inspired action on, well, then that's, you know, the stress has been productive. But if they wallow in that stress and hold on to that stress throughout the process of hard work, you know, they're really, again, they may get it done, but the process is so much less fun than it could be. And also you limit yourself. If you take on a task, you know, with a state of, in this place of infinite possibility, then it can evolve in these amazing ways and be even more productive, you know, even more productive than you thought. It could turn out, the result could be better. And in the process, you may attract all sorts of other ideas, new things to do, new inspired action to take that would help you grow that vision. But if you're all just focused and stressed about this, I got to get this one thing done, that's all you're about.
So the next step is honor your intuition. I know you've spoken about this a little bit already.
Yeah. Because it takes practice. You know, if you're not used to following your intuition, these little ideas or these voices or this, you know, these little nudges, you don't know what to make of them. And you might think, well, I'm just making this up. This is just my, you know, this is nothing. I'm not going to take action on this because it's just a crazy thought I'm having. It's just this random thought. But the thing is that whatever thoughts you have because you're in resonance with them for some reason or another. So if you've gotten into a practice of being intentional about attracting something, and then all of a sudden these new thoughts, these new images, these new sort of situations occur, there's a reason for that. And that's why, and so the idea is, and that's your intuition in action. I mean, you're working in concert with the universe, and the universe is showing up through your intuition. Here's some action to take to get you closer to where you want to go. So what you have to, the first few steps are the hardest, and that's just trusting that and taking action on it. Again, like I said before, regardless of whether or not it makes logical sense to you.
So the last step you have is take time daily to generate exuberant feelings of gratitude.
Yeah, because gratitude is really the most powerful manifestation technique there is, because again, gratitude is a very positive emotion. It suggests that you have things to be grateful for. And so those, and if you, you know, the things you're going to be grateful for, the things that you want or enjoy in your life. And so the more that you can feel a feeling of gratitude about all the things in your life, all the little things, the big things, whatever, sitting inside that state, now you're a vibrational match with more gratitude. You're going to attract more things to be grateful for, which, of course, it just stands to reason that those are going to be the things that you want in your life, because those are the things that you're going to feel grateful for. So really taking the time to acknowledge, even amongst the things that you think are bad in your life, you know, where it seems like you have no hope, there are definitely things that you can be grateful for, like the fact that you're able to think, hey, I have no hope. You know, a lot of people, you know, it's just you have to understand what you, and it doesn't matter how bad your conditions are. There's always going to be something that you can be grateful for. So the more you sit inside of that feeling, the more you'll attract things to be grateful for, and then you'll be able to see your situation change as a result of attracting those things.
That's great. Bob, I've heard you say a lot, well, you've said already a lot, that a big part of it, at least of the EFT part, is figuring out the resistance and clearing it. And then once you do that, This is actually more of a question. Once you clear that, is that when you feel grateful, or should we feel gratitude before or in the process? How do we kind of fit it in?
No, I think gratitude is kind of ongoing. I think that once you get, if you have an area of resistance and you are able to clear it, then that's certainly something to be grateful for. Oh. But gratitude isn't a, you know, before or after. It is an ongoing, you know. I think, I mean, you might find yourself grateful for different things on the other side of an EFT session, but before you do them, there are other things that you can be grateful for as well. So I don't think there's really any, you know, this is the proper time to feel gratitude. It's always the proper time.
Right. Well, I read a great article that you wrote about resistance and what we need to know about it. And you bring up 8 different things, and I was wondering if we could go through them, because it's so powerful, like, reading it and listening to you speaking about it, because it kind of gives us the opportunity to reflect to see if this is the blocks that we have in our own life.
Okay.
So do you mind if we go through them?
Nope.
Great. So the first one that you have is, it's too big. How does this play in people's life?
Yeah, well, again, if we're used to having certain things, things a certain way, only accomplishing a certain degree every time we attempt something, then it's easy for us to take a goal that, you know, is a little more lofty, or that we interpret as being bigger than anything we've ever done before, as too big. Like, well, we can't possibly achieve that, and we believe that because we haven't done it yet. But it doesn't mean it can't be done. It just means that we have not gotten into resonance with it, you know, with something bigger. And so that really stops a lot of people from, I mean, how many times have you had ideas for a movie or a book or an invention or something, and you go, well, I don't know how to do that because it's too big. It would just be too big and I can't do it. You know, and you get stopped without even allowing yourself to get into that state of, well, what if I did do it? And how would that be? And how would it look if I didn't worry about, you know, the size of it? What would it feel like to accomplish it? They don't even let themselves do that. They get stopped because they have an immediate belief that it's too big. And again, that's just something that's learned through their environment. And so, you know, I'm just inviting people to realize that all that is a thought. Mm-hmm. It's just the belief that anything is too big is just a thought. That's all it is. And you can think something different.
And it's so great bringing these things up too, because you've mentioned before that a lot of this stuff is unconscious. So the thought of it's too big can kind of seem like a natural thought that people don't think twice. They just think that's how it is.
Yes, yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, people, just they don't even consider that what they're dealing with is a belief. They're just looking at, well, this is the way the world is. Even though they could, if they just tried a little bit, look out in the world and see that other people are having a completely different experience along those lines.
Right.
But for you, this is just how it is. It's not a belief. I can't change this. This is how it is. But it is a belief, and it is just a thought.
The second one is, I don't deserve to.
Right, and that's we pretty much talked about the deserving issue. It's a stopper, you know. It's a real stopper. If you really feel that you're unworthy of getting what you want, you're not going to be able to get into resonance with it.
And this is one that you see show up a lot when you work with people.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, a lot of times they don't know it. That's one of the ones that sometimes they don't understand that they have an issue of deserving, and it takes maybe a little bit of digging. Because they really feel stopped, or no, I know I deserve it. I know I deserve. They like they've got all the rhetoric, you know. They can say, well, I know I'm just a human being, and so I inherently deserve all this. But really, what's going on in there is that they do have a belief for some reason that they don't deserve it. And once they can get to that and realize again that that's just a thought and there's not any real truth to it, and sometimes it's about forgiving themselves for something that they did or that they thought that they did or that, you know, whatever. The forgiveness, self-forgiveness comes into play there with the issues of deserving sometimes. But it's a big one.
And this is something that people can address with EFT, right? I mean, they can
absolutely
use a setup statement, even though I feel like I don't deserve to have all this money or this great relationship.
Yeah, although I would even put it stronger. I'd say, even though I don't deserve it. Not like I wouldn't say I don't feel like I deserve it, because that's kind of being a little, you know, like it's just a feeling. You need to own it. You need to own it and say, I don't deserve it. Like, because that's what your truth is. That's what you really feel like your truth is that I don't deserve it. And it's a much more powerful statement to just blatantly say it. Because if what you really want with EFT is to bring up the most intense version of that thing you're trying to release so that you can get it out of there. If you say, even though I feel like I don't deserve it, I mean, I'm sure you can understand, it doesn't feel as powerful as saying, I don't deserve it. I mean, that really brings up something for people if they've got that resistance. And that's a much more powerful thing to tap on if that's kind of what they're doing than sort of dancing around it with, like, even though I don't feel like I deserve it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So the third one is, I can't figure out how to.
Mm-hmm. Again, that what we were talking about before, it's people get stopped from taking the first bit of action towards, you know, towards attracting what they want because they feel like they've got to have it all figured out. It's got to make logical sense and so on. And, you know, that's just not the way it is. Sometimes people will be able to figure it out. And sometimes though, if you aren't attached to having it all figured out at first, like if you got an idea, you got a plan, you got a vision. I'm sorry, not a plan. You don't have a plan. You have a vision. And you start this whole attraction process going. One of the things you may attract is a plan. Mm-hmm. Is the figuring it out. But if you feel like you've got to figure it out first before you can even start the attraction process, then you're going to be stuck because you don't have, at this point, you may not have the resources to figure it out yet. You're going to have to attract them first.
I have to say that this one was so huge for me with making the film. And I think I talk about it in the behind the scenes where I would call my brother and go, I don't know how to do this. And he'd go, I don't know how to do it either. Go tap on it. And you really do. You tap on, even though I have no idea how to get an interview with Bob Doyle, I think I can really accept myself. And then you become very resourceful. That's what always happened.
Exactly.
I would tap, and I would think of an idea that I wasn't thinking about before.
Yes, absolutely.
Really powerful.
That is totally how it works, and people really just got to try that. You know, when they feel like they can't figure it out, let go of trying to figure it out, do the whole, even though I don't know how to do this whatsoever, and then be on the lookout, because you're going to start attracting things, if you're clear on what it is that you want, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the fourth one is I'm bored. How does this show up in people's life?
Yeah, that was a big one for me personally, is that, you know, I'd start these projects that light me up so much, you know, it might be a piece of music, for example, anything. And then I start down the path, and the way that resistance shows up for me is I'm bored of this. I got to move on. I want to move on to the other thing. Now, the thing about that is that your vision can definitely evolve. So there's nothing wrong necessarily with starting down one path and then seeing a bigger path and following that. But if you just quit because you're bored and you don't have a plan B or, you know, you just kind of let the vision die, that shows you that is resistance showing itself. And it could be a variety of resistance like the deserving issue or whatever. I mean, the whole boredom thing is indicative of another type of resistance. Boredom in and of itself isn't, I don't think, you know, resistance as much as it shows that there is resistance happening. You're sabotaging yourself from getting where you want to go, and your story is, I'm bored. You know, but if you were to really go back to when you first had that inspired vision and remember those feelings, you'll realize that, no, this is a great idea. You know, why am I bored? Or it may be that you're burning yourself out because you're trying to do it all yourself or whatever, and it just gets too cumbersome, so you say, I'm bored, and you're ready to move on. So if you know you're working on something that really, really lit you up, that you know is in alignment with your passions, and suddenly you start feeling bored, then I would start doing some tapping on that.
And what would you say? How would you phrase it?
Even though I don't want to do this anymore, even though this doesn't light me up at all, you know, all the stuff that you know probably isn't true, it's almost like you want to get into an argument with yourself. You want to rile yourself up so you can dig that resistance up and out. You know, you know, just stuff where if somebody was telling you the stuff, it would really evoke an emotion. So tell yourself the same stuff that brings out a charge in you and then release it.
Great. And the fifth one is, this always happens to me.
Yeah, and that's really the, you know, resistance shows up in patterns. You know, I always attract this kind of person. My project always falls apart at this stage in the game. Why does this always happen to me? You know, the same stuff over and over and over. Instead of, you know, saying, oh, I'm cursed or whatever, what you should do is own that you've got resistance going, and it's a very specific kind. It's showing up the same way every time. So you should really take great joy in that. Oh, okay, it's just resistance. I can deal with this. You know, I've got this tool. You know, and so the more something happens the same way over and over again, the more it should tell you that you've got a program running because you are the common denominator.
Now the sixth one is, I'm depressed.
Yeah, well, if you get depressed, because, I mean, that's a huge one because it shows up for so many different reasons and in so many different ways. But, you know, It can be because it's not happening fast enough, or, again, some of the other areas of resistance, like if you really don't feel like you deserve it or that you're not good enough or whatever, it can become depressing. Or if you look out in the world and you say, well, everybody else is manifesting so much faster than me and I can't do it, I guess I just don't, you know, that kind of stuff. And then you can really get into a funk. And the thing about depression with a lot of people is that they identify, that's how they're identified. They say, oh, I'm depressed. They label themselves like that because if they're not depressed, they don't know what they are. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like they've never been anything but some sort of version of depressed. And so they just keep going to that. And it's also an excuse. You know, well, I'm too depressed to finish this. I'm too depressed to take action. I'm too depressed to do what I need to do to move forward in my vision. So it's just another, area of resistance that's keeping you from, and again, that can touch the deserving issue or it's the too big, and that can result in some sort of depression.
So that's interesting. So basically, you can clear one thing and it has effect on all these other beliefs.
Yeah, that's what's so great about EFT. I mean, I know that you know this. I mean, the whole concept of, you know, clearing out a tree or knocking down one tree and it clears out a forest or whatever. I mean, yes, it's really interesting sometimes how our resistance is all intermingled. And so you might go after one area of resistance and clear several at the same time.
And the next one is, I'm not healthy, energetic enough.
Right. Again, it's kind of an excuse, but it also, there's some fact in there because a lot of times that's a way that we sabotage ourselves. We don't take care of our bodies. We put things into our bodies that we know they aren't good for us. We know they're going to slow us down. They know they're going to take away our motivation, and yet we do it anyway. So there's something there, too, about resistance. It's more about the resistance is causing us to take the action that creates this lack of health. You know, and I'm using the example now of intentionally, you know, of not some sort of genetic type of health issue. I'm talking about where a person just runs themselves down or makes themselves sick or is perpetually ill or perpetually has headaches or, you know, chronic pain or whatever that really there's more of an emotional cause for. That if you were to deal with that emotion, then you would, whatever it is that's stopping you from, you know, taking care of yourself, eating right, exercising regularly, again, it could be a deserving issue. I don't deserve to be healthy, you know. I deserve to feel like this because of whatever. And you may not even know why you feel that way. And that's another great use of EFT is just, you know, you don't have to know why you're doing it, just how you feel in that moment of ill health or, you know, lack of energy or whatever. If you can do some tapping on that, you know, it's going to be different for everybody, but all kinds of things can open up.
This last one is interesting. It's, they won't let me.
Yeah, it's the looking out into the world and saying, well, I would do all this stuff, but, you know, my wife won't let me, or my parents won't let me, or my boss won't let me. It's completely absolving yourself of any responsibility. So you get to be right. You get to say, yeah, well, you know, I want to do all this stuff, but I can't. I just can't because, look, all these people are saying that I can't. They won't let me take the action. They won't let me do whatever. And so you completely make the responsibility of your life is now in other people's hands, and that's your choice because now you don't have to take any responsibility. You know, you can go ahead and just keep being where you are because it's somebody else's fault, and you have no control over it, which is not true. It may occur that way. People may be telling you, you can't do that. You know, but you're in resonance with that. You're attracting the people who are going to support what you really believe about yourself. You know, if you really believe that you can't do it, you're going to attract people who tell you, yeah, you can't. You know, but if you can believe that you can do it, if you really get past your own, because the people in our lives and everything about it, it's a reflection of what we've got going on inside. You know, if you change at the core who you are and who you're being and eliminate any resistance around, you know, well, I'm not good enough to do this or whatever, you're going to attract a completely different type of person. Your energy is going to be completely different. And you're going to find people to support you in your vision who not only say you can do this, but will probably help you to do it.
There's something else that I've heard you say before, that one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're using EFT books is that they skip over the issues that they just don't think are theirs.
Oh, right.
So they'll go through this list and go, well, that doesn't really apply to me.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten from people who have gone ahead. Like if I've got a pre-recorded teleseminar with lots of tapping, I've got lots of those in the program, right? All sorts of issues are covered. And up front, we always say, you know, tap on every single issue that comes up, even if you don't think it's yours. Even if you're absolutely positive this doesn't affect you in any way, tap on it anyway and do the best you can to follow along and conjure up whatever might be there. And so many times I've had people say, you know, I didn't think this was my issue, and then I'm halfway through the tapping and I'm in tears, you know, because I remembered this whatever, and this was the most powerful thing. You know, the stuff that we just, because it's often a very strong form of resistance to say that's not mine, because you don't want to look at it. You don't want to admit to yourself that it might be yours. It might be too painful. It might be something that's completely contrary to what you tell the rest of the world you're about. So you've bought into your own propaganda, and you don't look at, hey, you know, maybe this really is my thing. So the best approach is just to tap on all the issues that are presented, because it may not be a huge thing for you, but if it's anything at all, it's great to eliminate the resistance. And again, it can touch another area that might be huge for you. So always, always, if you've got somebody who's a practitioner who really knows what they're doing and can guide you through an EFT session that they know has done powerful work for other people, always utilize that. It's a great resource whether or not you think it's yours, because you will be surprised most of the time.
And even tapping with these 8 issues, because they're so common, another exercise we could do is to just go through them and do some tapping on each one.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I love that you say is that you say releasing resistance is an ongoing process. I don't mean every day. I mean throughout the day, every day.
Right.
How do we expect to do that? How do we start? How do we start when we haven't even been looking at these issues to start?
Well, we have touched on it before. You have to be able to release throughout the day like that, the way that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It really helps to know what releasing feels like. So
right.
Start releasing whenever you can, you know, whether it's an hour a day or however you want to do it, however you will do it, I should say. However you will experience releasing, do it so you know what it feels like, and you start to understand how beneficial it is to do that. You know, and then you can you're more able to do that sort of spontaneous releasing we were talking about, even without sort of the tapping. I do a lot of mental EFT, you know, where, you know, I don't do physical tapping but I can only do that because I've done so much tapping that I actually know what it feels like when I tap on a certain point. I know how the energy radiates through my body at that point. My body responds. I have this thing where when I tap, you know, it tends to loosen up like congestion or whatever. It's a block or whatever. However your body is, whenever I tap, I get this sort of, you know, congestion loosens up. And I can get the exact same physical response from mental EFT to focusing on the tapping as if I was doing it, the feeling of it, knowing it. And it worked. I have the same, my body responds the same way. Because it's all energy. You know, our fingers are just energy, and we're tapping our bodies. But that's just, you know, that's an easier way for us to say, yes, I am doing something. But you're also affecting energy with your thought all the time. So if you do enough EFT physically that you know what it feels like, then you can start playing with doing it without the actual tapping. And it can be very effective. I mean, that's what I do most of the time. The only times now that I really do the physical tapping is if it's a real, real tough one, you know, where I don't want to take any chances. I don't want my mind wandering on anywhere. I want to just, okay, I am tapping. I am activating these spots right now. I'm balancing out this energy system. So, but when you can do it without the physical tapping, it's a lot easier to do it throughout the day, because a lot of people, you know, you're in a meeting or something and something comes up and stresses you out, you're not going to start tapping your face in the middle of a meeting, right? So, but you can do it mentally and have an impact and release.
I know that people are going to get a lot from this session, but if people could take away one thing, you know, from you talking today, what do you want them to really take away from this? What's something that's essential when you're ready to use the law of attraction?
Well, that if you're not where you want to be in your life, it's because there's some resistance. You've got resistance. And identifying or working on that resistance is the key to making the law of attraction work, period. So understanding how the law of attraction works, again, is very helpful. It was very helpful to me to understand the science of it, you know, because I just couldn't blindly buy into it, even though I wanted to. I needed to understand the science part of it. But once I got what the law of attraction was, then it really is all about releasing resistance. So the one message, I mean, it's It is my biggest message, is that we are people filled with resistance. We've got resistance like you wouldn't believe, and we're surrounded by it, and we inject it into ourselves every time we watch the news or have negative conversations or buy into this mass hysteria about whatever, economy, for example, and we just build on that resistance. If we don't do something about it, you know, we're not gonna experience any change, or we're just gonna keep spiraling in the direction that we're putting our focus on emotionally. So understanding that, look, you do have a choice on how you feel, and when it seems really hard, like you can't do it, then that's resistance, and you've got this great tool, so use it.
Bob, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jessica.